the football pitch where George Best first kicked the ball is to be protected forever. Craigie Green is the spot in the centre of a housing estate in the east of the city where George Best's talent first flourished as a schoolboy in the 1950s. The open space will now be protected in perpetuity through a legal deed between Belfast City Council and Fields and Trust. But should we be continually celebrating someone who had a checkered past? Alcoholism, accusations of domestic abuse. Those allegations were discussed frankly in a recent BBC documentary film on George Best.
George could be particularly violent with drink inside of him.
It could get pretty bad at times. He could become quite aggressive. It was not nice to witness.
A couple of times, you know, we did have a few fights and I did end up in hospital a couple of times.
She picked me up at the airport and she had a black eye. I said, babes, what is that? They'd both been drunk, had a fight, and he punched her. And I said, oh, what? I tried to warn her. I said, Alex, what are you doing? But, you know, when you're in love, you're in love.
Well, on the line, the journalist Alison Morris and the Belfast councillor and friend of George, Jim Rogers. Morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Alison.
Morning.
What do you think, Alison?
I think that, first of all, the fact that the pitch is to be preserved is to be welcomed, because any play area for children in any inner city area, when we know there's a shortage of green spaces, the fact that this is going to be there for those children in that area forever is a good thing. I do think that there's very serious questions to be asked about how we do remember what are clearly very troubled men, and I don't just include George Best in this. You know, there are other examples, I suppose Paul Gascoigne being the one that jumps out as being quite similar. You heard in that documentary, you know, a woman playing down the fact that she'd been hospitalised. And I think that what we've seen when, you know, very rich and very powerful and very successful and very talented men are involved in domestic violence, that the women almost all of a sudden become, you know, they become in the eyes of the public, you know, they're trying to denigrate the memory of this great man, and they become, you know, liars and gold diggers, and they are singled out for quite abusive behaviour. I know even on your show, I think you've had Callum Best on a few times, and he came under a great deal of criticism for writing about the fact that his father, he claimed, had attacked him when he was 14, you know, and when we're criticising the child of a, you know, of an alcoholic father for talking about his experiences, I think that we need to look at how we view men, you know, with, and our culture, and how our treats women and children who are victims of domestic violence. And I think that George Best is a prime example of that.
And do you therefore feel, Alison, because of that checkered past, that he should not be honoured in this way?
I think that what the children who play on that pitch, they want to be George Best the footballer, they want to play for Man United. They do not want to clearly be George Best, the alcoholic and the woman beater. I think that a football pitch, if it's being preserved, and that's the reason why it's being preserved, I would welcome that, because children need play areas, especially in city areas. I do think that we need to be very careful about glorifying what are very damaged men, clearly. You know, people who, I always think that, you know, it's often said there's a fine line between genius and madness, and he was very clearly a very troubled and very flawed man who died as a result of his alcoholism, and that is not a role model for children, and that's something that if people are going to teach their children about the legacy of George Best, I think that we need to be quite open about what kind of a person he was. He was a genius on the pitch. He was clearly not the same when he was off the pitch and when he was on drink.
Jim?
Well, first of all, Stephen, I warmly welcome the legal deed between Belfast City Council and the Fields of Trust in relation to Craigie Green, which has already been said is in the middle of a very large housing estate. I knew George Best very well, also the family, great people. Yes, sadly, once George got a few drinks, he was a different individual, and this does happen to people, regretfully. And I most certainly don't condone wife beaters or husband beaters or violent individuals.
But when you said, Jim, this does happen, we wouldn't just pass it off like that if it was anybody else. Do we give a bye ball to someone just because they have talent?
No, definitely not. I don't care who the individual is, whether they're down in the depths of despair and having two pennies to rub together. But if you look throughout the world, the number of prominent people, including many sportsmen and women, who have been honoured by their city and their town and their country because of what they have achieved. And George did achieve an awful lot. And I personally, I want to look on the good side of George. George Best, at a moment's notice, when it came to a children's ward, which had a lot of youngsters in it who were terminally ill, he went out of his way to help other people. Unfortunately, alcohol does take its course in many people. I feel sorry for those who are alcoholics, and I did for George Best, and it was a life cut short much too early. Let's look at the positive things about George.
Well, and ignore how he beat up women?
No. I condemn totally what happened between George and Anjay and anybody else, including Callum, his son. These things shouldn't happen. But whenever people get intoxicated, they're not themselves. They do silly, stupid things.
They're still
things.
Responsible, Jim, for what they do, whether they're drunk or not.
Yes, it is, Stephen. But why is it in Northern Ireland we always want to knock people rather than lift them up and support them? He was a role model. I remember where I was.
A man who beats up women was a role model.
Well, he had his bad points, but the good ones most certainly showed that he was an entirely different person in sobriety. You only have to talk to some of those who he played with in the Northern Ireland team, as well as Manchester United. And Bestie was a fantastic guy, had a wonderful personality. He was most generous. But again, like a lot of sports people, they get too much to drink. They let themselves down. And I re-emphasise it again and again. I don't condone in any form what George did.
But by describing him as a role model, is that condoning to a certain extent what he did by saying, well, it doesn't take away from his role model status? Here's Paul in Bangor to speak to you, Jim. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Stephen. I think it's extremely disgraceful to say that it was a life cut short when he cut that life short himself.
Paul, I need you to come close to the phone, mate. I don't know if you're on speaker or what you are, but...
Sorry, Stephen. Jim, it's a disgrace to say the man's life was cut short because it wasn't. He cut his own life short by basically messing up a second chance he was given in life.
I can understand exactly what you're saying, and I wouldn't altogether disagree, but I don't care who the individual is. I hate to see any person's life been cut short, whether it's through alcohol, whether it's through drugs or whatever.
And remember, Paul, in defence of George Best, obviously he can't defend himself, he's dead, but addiction is an illness, and some of the greatest, smartest, you know, good, decent people fall foul to addiction. Wife beating is not addiction. I'm separating that. But alcoholism is.
How is the man a role model when given a second chance in life, he chooses to waste it, right? How is he a role model?
Well, it's an addiction, Paul. So he doesn't.
He
didn't choose to. You're saying choice. But of course, if you have an addiction, you could argue you don't have a choice. The addiction has gripped you. Takes your choice and your ability to choose away.
But he's in the public eye and he's held up as a role model. He was given the chance to change his life for the better and be a role model and show people, or show particularly children, that alcohol isn't the way forward. But no, George Best, being George Best, decided to waste it.
And John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
George Best. He basically had a state funeral. They named an airport after him. They issued £5 notes in his honour. Now they're going to protect a playground in his name. George Best was undoubtedly one of the greatest footballers ever lived, a very talented man. But as a role model, he certainly was not. George Best had a second chance in life. He got another liver, and he wasted that as well. Could you picture the person who may have died that day, and who was a liver, or who was an organ donor, and his parents may be wondering, did George Best get my son's liver and waste it? You think with those people, what they're going through? No, I think we've done enough for George Best. I think it's time that he's buried and just let him stay where he is.
Well, that's quite cold.
It is cold, but it's a fact.
Well, John, I think with respect, that's rather sad. You obviously
find sad nothing about it,
didn't know George Best as I and many others knew him. And again, as Stephen has rightly pointed out, alcohol is an addiction. And sadly,
well, I think if I got another liver given to me, I think I would maybe I would conquer that addiction, knowing this is my last chance of life. I
well,
didn't accept that
people,
at all.
People would tell you that it's easier said than done. I don't drink alcohol, so I just don't know how it affects people. But sadly, in George's case, it just destroyed his body and destroyed
Alison.
Him.
Stephen, yeah, can I just come in? I think we're going into the very dangerous territory here. Jim saying you didn't know the George Best I know. Jim didn't know George Best. Jim knew the public George Best. He knew, you know, the footballer, you know, the nice guy who showed up at events and shook hands and signed autographs. He didn't know the George Best that was beating his partner behind closed doors. And that was the George Best that I think we shouldn't gloss over. Because if we say it's okay for a man to beat his wife because he's good at football, well, then is it okay for a taxi man to beat his wife? Is it okay for a postman to beat his wife? Alcoholism is not an excuse. It may be a mitigating factor in why these people get to this. But to beat your wife or to assault your children, regardless of who you are, and if we say it's okay for this man to remain an icon and a legend, despite what he did, well, then we're giving an excuse to all those other men. And the fact is, in Northern Ireland, we have a massive problem with domestic violence and a massive problem of underreporting of domestic violence. And no wonder there's a massive problem of underreporting of domestic violence when women who do come out and speak are vilified or called liars or attention seekers or gold diggers, and the men who are responsible are excused for everything they do as long as they're good at something, as long as they're rich, as long as they're successful, as long as, you know, we can hold them up as some sort of role model, which he clearly wasn't. So what I would say to Jim, I know he said he doesn't drink. Alcohol is not an excuse for what happens. Everyone who drinks doesn't beat their wife. You know, people who
I accept that. But I don't care whether it's George Best or an ordinary person. I totally condemn anyone who lifts their hand to their husband, their boyfriend, their wife.
But you don't condemn them. You don't,
Jim,
condemn them to the extent where you think that that should stop them being what you describe as a role model.
Well, to me, George achieved an awful lot before drink cut his life short, an awful lot. And I think all the good points about him, the good deeds, certainly outweigh all the bad ones. And the vast majority of people who knew George would tell you that. And don't let us ever forget.
But Jim, was he a good role model even as a footballer, insofar as with that amount of talent, his career was effectively over at 26?
Well, unfortunately, he went down the wrong road, but I'm not going to forget.
So what's role model about him then?
That. Well, again, I think what is happening in the Craig estate will be warmly welcomed by the vast majority of people who live there, who knew him, who also knew the family. Very decent, honourable people, George's mother and father and sisters and brother. And I'm not going to let anybody start slating George Best. He made mistakes, which I totally and utterly criticise him for. But at the end of the day, don't ever forget what he achieved for Northern Ireland.
I think Richard, Richard and Dundonald agrees with you. Morning, Richard.
I do indeed, Stephen. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
With regards to this, what George done when he was a player, footballer, the children now, I have people who in the family, look up to George Best as a footballer. Now, their parents and their grandparents and all that, they're not going to turn around and say, now, I want you to start drinking the same way as George done when he was a wee footballer. No, the thing is this, he wanted to be remembered, but no, he done certain things in his life. But it doesn't take you to be a drunkard to beat your wife. There's people beating their wife day and day.
And there are some people who are alcoholics who do not beat their wives.
That's correct.
So therefore, Richard, are you comfortable with a wife beater being a role model for children?
Hold on. We're not saying that, Stephen. Nobody's condoning anything.
Well, a role model suggests someone who you aspire to behave like.
Yeah, yeah.
So does it not?
There's thousands of people throughout history who have done things in their lives not to, you know what I mean? You could turn around and say, well, we don't want to follow that route. But they've got statues of them today in Belfast, all over Britain. These people who, you know, done certain things.
Let me let Alison Morris speak to you, Richard.
Go ahead.
I think that the problem is that people say, you know, this is the public face, this is the role model. But you don't really know that person. You know the facade that they put on when they're out in public. And we clearly know that behind closed doors, George Best is a very different person. And I think that the problem is if that we glorify someone like him, who just because he was good at football, will say, well, look, forget about all that other stuff. Sure, let's pretend that didn't happen and remember what a great footballer he was. And nobody's doubting he was one of the best footballers that ever lived. But if we just gloss over that very real part, which was basically the majority of his life, because as Stephen pointed out, his football career was cut short due to his drinking. The rest of the time, he basically just was a celebrity. And for the rest of that time, he was drinking. And he was also behaving diabolically to the people who loved him most behind closed doors. And I don't think that we can just gloss over that and pretend it didn't happen, because A, he's from Northern Ireland, and B, he's a good footballer.
Did you ever meet George Best yourself? Did you ever see the other side of him when you heard Jim Rogers saying there about going to the hospice?
Excuse me.
Did you hear what he says about going to the hospice and meeting children who were going to die? And see that state of
George Best's funeral, I couldn't find a person. I didn't have a bad word to say about him. Everybody said it. But what my point to you is, let's take, for example, the recent murder in Cavan, and we had a woman and her children hacked to death. Every single person said what a lovely, lovely person her husband was, what a great guy he was, what a pillar of the community, because that was the facade he put on, in public. What I'm saying is, the public person, the person you meet shaking hands and being nice to people, that is not the person he was behind closed doors. You can't separate the two of them.
What did you bring that case up for in relation to George Best this morning?
Because this is a very, very clear example. As if we say it's okay for one man to do that, then all men to do that.
We've heard people condemning that.
He was a nicer kind of wife beater than other kinds of wife
beaters. No, we're not saying that. Don't be putting
words in my mouth. From the bad wife beaters.
Don't be putting words in my mouth. I never said that. And Jim Rogers never said that. We said there was two sides to George Best. One was the alcoholic, and the other one was when he was on the football pitch, which we're talking about this morning. Now, young people's going to get pleasure out of the football pitch. They're not going to get pleasure out of drinking. We know that. We're trying to keep children away from drinking and drugs and stuff.
So it's lovely that the football pitch has been preserved, because there's not enough football pitches.
Alison, George Best had many girlfriends in the earlier years, and most of them spoke kindly about him and regretted that the relationship had broken up.
So he's to be applauded, Jim, for not beating them all.
No, I'm not saying that, Stephen. What I am putting across is this, that an awful lot of women couldn't say a bad word about him, but unfortunately the two that have, blackened his character, and that's unfortunate. But there was
two. We're falling into victim shaming here, Jim. You need to be very careful what you're saying, and remember that you, as a politician, also have influence in the community. And what we're hearing here is, oh, most women said he was nice. So why did those two women blacken his character? You're falling into the very dangerous area where you could be victim shaming women who were victims of domestic abuse.
No, I'm not.
Let's not put words into his mouth now.
I'm being very careful, Alison, what I'm saying here, and I totally and utterly condemn. Whether it was George Best whoever beating up their wives or vice versa, I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Okay, Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Well, I've been following this conversation, and I mean, I don't see George Best as a role model, but that doesn't mean we can't commemorate him. I mean, he was a great footballer. I think what Best appealed to a lot of people was his entirety of character, and that he was a flawed character, and that's what people found. What people found appealing about him and found frustrating about him, that he had all this potential greatness, and yet he threw it away on drink. And I think there's a lesson there for us all. Just because he's not a role model, but that's not to say he shouldn't be commemorated. A few weeks ago, we were commemorating, and people were paying tribute to Martin McGuinness. Well, we didn't pay. Martin McGuinness's life was complicated. Martin McGuinness's life encompassed Martin McGuinness the peacemaker, Martin McGuinness the terrorist. Are we to hold George Best to a higher standard than Martin McGuinness?
And Vindy?
I don't think it's really fair. I think it's...
Morning, Vindy. Let me bring in Vindy as well. Morning, Vindy.
Hiya, Stephen. I think there's one thing that Alison is missing here. I would be in agreement with Jim Rogers. I wouldn't condone anything you do, because I didn't agree with the wife beating and stuff like that. But I don't know if she was aware. See, before he died, he let the press and media see what he was like on his deathbed, from what alcoholism can do to you. So, for my mind, he was a role model in that regard. And he was also a role model in regard to his football and ability as well. I'm not a Man United supporter, but George Best is my hero, and he always will be. Always will be.
Alison?
I think as a footballer, he was undoubtedly a genius. And in relation to what you'd said about that horrific picture, you know, it was in the news of the world. If you watch the documentary, his agent actually said he was sorry he'd taken that. He had signed a pre-prepared contract that meant they had to give a story to the news of the world regardless. And I think that was, you know, sort of an indictment on that sort of tabloid culture that existed at that time. The picture is probably something his family didn't want people to see. But I do agree that, you know, if we look at that in its entirety and we look at him as a footballer and a man who undoubtedly in the very, you know, when he could have had a very successful career right on to his 30s, squandered that because of drink. And if we take it in its whole, I think it's fine to look at George Best as a brilliant footballer, you know, a genius, a man who at the time during the Troubles when there was very little positive happening in Northern Ireland, here was someone who was successful. But we need to look at it in its entirety, and we need to look at the fact that people who do involve themselves in domestic violence are often two very different people. They're often someone who everybody will say are the nicest guy you could ever meet. God, he's a lovely fella, he'd do anything for you. And behind closed doors, they're absolute demons when they get among people, Jim, who actually do love them and care about them.
Jim, are you sure, having just listened to the conversation today, do you stand over George Best was a role model?
I'm not going to take away what I said. Yes, I do. And again, I regret how he ruined his life and the way he behaved. But overall, certainly in his early years, the number of people who followed him closely and idolised him and tried to model themselves on his football career, because he was one of the greatest footballers in the world. He was the best footballer ever to come out of Northern Ireland. And this is a boy who, as a 14-year-old, was rejected by the club which I love, Glen Torren. He was told he was too light, he was too small. Come back whenever you're a bit bigger. And Manchester United's scout, Bob Bishop, who was a neighbour of mine, went to watch him on a number of occasions because he had been tipped off by a man called Bud McFarland, who was involved with Craigie Boys Club. And George saw something in him and sent him across to Manchester. And within a short period of time, Manchester United realised, here's something special.
Let me see if we can squeeze in.
And decided to sign him up, much to the disappointment of the Glens.
OK. Listen, a really interesting conversation. George Nishanka, very quickly, George.
Morning, Stephen. Just well done to Belfast City Council for doing this. Let's see what all this was about. The airport, the fire, the funeral, and now the pitch is to show kids what they can aspire to. You know, leave the other bit aside for a minute. This maybe hopefully kids from the Shankill, the Falls, East Belfast, Londonderry, anywhere, show kids what they're going to aspire to. They knuckle down and work hard.
Leave the domestic abuse aside, George.
Let me finish. And show kids, if they work hard and at school and work hard in their sporting career, what they can achieve.
What are you telling kids if they beat up women?
And then they're going to look at the dark side of George and say and be taught that if you do aspire, you do get to that level, this is what drink and this is what the dark side of it can do to you.
Okay.
So they can be taught two ways. They can be taught to get there.
We've got to leave it there. George, thank you. Jim and Alison, thank you very much.